Hello and welcome. This is Brother Mike at May-212011.com. That's May-21-2011.com with another study in our series on in the book of Daniel. We're on in chapter 8, that is, and we're now on verses 8 through 9. Let me read those verses to get our minds oriented, and then I'll review what we covered in our study just before this one in Daniel, verses 6 through 7, and then we'll go in to these verses 8 through 9, and of course end with a conclusion. The title of this study is "The Little Horn Arose and Waxed Great into the Glorious Land." Those verses read, "Therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken. And for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land." In studying Daniel's vision in chapter 8, we have been seeing a double meaning or application to it throughout. So far, in verses 4 through 7 that you can click on to review, we saw a literal meaning pertaining to ancient history of the Median and Persian kingdoms from 559 B.C. approximately all the way to 330 B.C. when the Persian kingdom under Darius III, consisting then also of the ancient Median kingdom that had been conquered by Cyrus of Persia in 550 B.C., was conquered by Alexander the Great in 330 B.C. And we saw a spiritual meaning pertaining to the New Testament period of the church age from Pentecost of 33 A.D. to May 21, 1988, when the church age spiritually ended and the Great Tribulation came upon the entire corporate Christian church unto May 21, 2011, and even to this very day, right near the end of the world. Indeed, in Daniel's vision of Daniel chapter 8, the literal historical account presented through Daniel's vision and interpreted by the angel Gabriel was used as a type or foreshadow of what would take place on a spiritual level during the history of the New Covenant, especially those spiritual events beginning with God's final judgment on this world, such as the end of the church age and God's final judgment on the world that began with His very own church or house, both on May 21, 1988, and which began what the Bible calls the Great Tribulation, by releasing the devil from the pit in which he had been bound at the cross, and empowering the devil to rule over the entire corporate Christian church, including every Christian church, without them even knowing it, to make the Christian churches Satan's greatest victory in deceit ever since the Garden of Eden, when he first deceived Eve. For God's final judgment on this world had to begin at the house of God. 1 Peter 4:17. Now, as already stated in our last study of Daniel chapter 8, verses 6 through 7, we saw that the literal meaning was a picture of when he, that is Alexander the Great, the ruler of Grecia or Greece, and his Grecian army, being symbolized by the he-goat with the notable horn, ran unto him, that is Darius III and his Persian kingdom, being symbolized by the ram, in fury or heat of his power or strength, to attack Darius III of Persia and his army in order to bring an end to that great Persian kingdom in 330 BC. And when Alexander the Great and his Grecian army approached Darius III and his Persian army to attack them, we read, he, that is Alexander the Great, was moved with choler, that is bitter rage, against him, and struck the ram, that is, he struck Darius III, the third, and his army, and broke or shattered his two horns. Alexander the Great, therefore, conquered the great power of the Persian kingdom under Darius III in 330 BC, which then consisted also of the Median kingdom that Persia, under King Cyrus the Great, had conquered way back in 550 BC. Hence, the mentioning of the two horns of the ram. The Median and the Persian kingdoms united, being shattered or broken. And then the scripture reads, and there was no power, that is strength, in the ram, that is in Darius the Third and his Persian army, to stand before him, that is to stand before Alexander and his Grecian army. But he, Alexander, and his army cast him, Darius III, and his Persian army down to the ground and stamped upon them, and there was none that could deliver the ram, Darius III, and his army out of his, Alexander the Great's, hand. Thus, the literal meaning to Daniel's vision in Daniel 8 through 6 through 7 that you can click on to be refreshed of was the foretelling of the Persian kingdom being conquered by Alexander the Great, king of the Grecians or Greece, and he was conquered in 330 BC, according to the secular record. This was remarkably foreseen in Daniel's vision and interpreted to be such by the angel Gabriel in 547 BC, more than 200 years before it actually took place. But then, even more remarkable, when we interpreted Daniel 8, 6 through 7 spiritually, we found it to reveal spiritual events that first began on Pentecost of 33 AD with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to begin the church age, all the way to the Great Tribulation period, which began on May 21, 1988. 2,554 years after Daniel first saw his vision in 547 BC. May 21, 1988 was also when God's final judgment on the world began at his own house or church, according to the most accurate biblical timeline of history that you can click on to see the evidence and the proofs. Indeed, without God having revealed the true biblical timeline of history during the last third part of the 19th century, and I encourage you, you can click on the link and scroll down to click on Adam Wynn in the literature section, chapters 2, 3, and 4, and begin reading to see how that biblical timeline came about. Because we could never know such things as when God's final judgment began, when the church age ended, when the great tribulation began and ended, when Christ's current reign with the rod of iron began, when the latter rain began and ended, when the many days of judgment day, that is the many days of the day of the Lord, began. when eternal salvation came to an end in the church and then later came to an end in the whole world as well, and many other things which have to do with the end time as well. If we didn't have the calendar, we could know none of that. We could not understand it because we would not know when it took place. And these were spiritual things that took place. We couldn't see with our eyes. We couldn't feel with our hands, taste, or touch. So unless we had a biblical timeline to guide us in these things, the things of the end could never be discovered. Thus, to be able to understand end times events, the biblical timeline is essential, and so a good place for one to begin their studies on the latter days of the end time. For to come to realize what has been taking place in these final few days, and yes, we are in the final few days, the biblical timeline is of great help to arrange one's thoughts properly for proper and greater understanding. And yes, it all comes right out from God's holy word, the Bible. But then, when we discovered the spiritual meaning to verse 4, that you can click on and then scroll to page 8, and then also verse 5 of Daniel 8 that you can you can click on the link and then scroll down to page 10 to be reminded, and combined it with other biblical truths, we saw that because the devil had been cast out of heaven, and you can click on those links that shows that he was cast out of heaven and when it took place, and then bound in the pit of this earth at the cross so that he could no longer frustrate the gospel from reaching into the whole world to reach God's elect. And you click on Revelation 20 for more info on that. We realize that, unlike during most of the church age that ran from Pentecost of 33 A.D., to Pentecost on May 21, 1988, wherein Christ and his church, symbolized by the ram and its two horns, went forth and conquered to become great. Because everywhere they went with the gospel, God's true people were saved through the hearing of it as it was sent forth and preached by the Holy Spirit through men, through his ever-growing church. On the other hand, when it came near to the end of the church age and approaching May 21, 1988, the tables were turned upside down and Satan was released from the pit of this earth and given great power and strength by God to be used to bring his final judgment on this world by first bringing that judgment on his own church, including all Christian churches worldwide. You can be refreshed of that by clicking on Daniel 8:5. For his final judgment on this world had to begin at the house of God, 1 Peter 4:17. And in using Satan to bring judgment first on his church, the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, also called the man of sin, the abomination of desolation, the little horn, and the beast, yes, the devil himself, was given the seat of rule in the entire corporate Christian church, which includes all Christian churches worldwide without them even knowing it. Except, of course, we, the true remnant of God, did eventually depart out from all the churches to follow our Lord before the many days of Judgment Day, or the day of the Lord, began on May 21, 2011. But then continuing on to the spiritual meaning of verses 6 through 7, we were next told in Daniel 8, 6, and of course you can click on it to be refreshed, and scroll down to page 7 and begin reading at the last paragraph of our last study. If you do that, we found that the he-goat symbolized Satan, came to the ram that symbolized Christ, that had two horns that symbolized the church, which I, that is Daniel, had seen standing before the river that symbolized the streaming forth of the gospel during the church age, if you remember. And Satan ran unto him, that is Christ and his church, in the fury or heat of his power or strength. And Daniel saw this he-goat that symbolized Satan come close unto the ram that symbolized Christ and his church. And the he-goat that symbolized the devil was moved with choler. And that word choler is an old English word, I believe. And it means bitter rage. So the he-goat, Satan, was moved with choler, our verse says. That's bitter anger against the ram. That is Christ and his church. And why did Satan show bitter rage against Christ and his people after he had been released from the pit at the end of the church age on May 21, 1988? Why? Because God had conquered him at the cross and so then cast him out of heaven down to the earth. And you can click on Revelation 12, 7 through 11 and those other verses for information on that. And God bound him in the pit of this earth with greatly diminished powers. Revelation 20 that you can click on for that. Nevertheless, as we read in Revelation 12 through 13, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. And when the devil saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman, that's the church, which brought forth the man-child, that is, the church brought forth the Christ, in the sense that he had to be brought forth or born to pay for their sins. So, it was all the sins of Christ's true people, that is, his eternal church, that required the man-child, the Christ, to be born or brought forth. Spiritually speaking, it was not Mary, his mother, who brought him forth. It was Mary's sins, along with all the sins of God's other people throughout history, that brought the cross Christ child forth. So, I must say to all you Catholics, in the true Holy Scriptures, Mary is never raised above God's other people. She was a sinner, just like all the rest, just like all we were. So she needed a Savior, just like all the rest of us. Luke 1, verse 47. To even think that she can hear all your prayers at once, and that she can deal with your prayers better than Christ, as a mother can more tenderly understand your request than her son, is absolute foolishness and idolatry. Christ is the only mediator between God and humans, 1 Timothy 2:5. So why even pray to Mary? Why pray to other saints? They aren't mediators. Only Christ, he's the only mediator. Repent of your idolatry and pray to the true Christ alone. But you must depart out from your cult first, so that God might stop sending you the strong delusion that you are worshiping the true Christ in the Catholic Church when you are not. 2 Thessalonians 2:11. I encourage you to click on the link, The Catholic Church is a Cult, for all the biblical support of that. Now, returning to our Daniel 8 study, because Satan knew he had been defeated at the cross and so was cast out of heaven to the earth and bound, having very little time left until he would be completely destroyed forever, we can easily understand why that when Satan had been granted great power and came close to Christ as he was working through his church, near the end of the church age, around May 21, 1988, he was filled with bitter rage against Christ and his church. Yet, as we learned in our last study, Satan was not only filled with bitter rage against Christ as Christ worked through his church at the end of the church age on May 21, 1988, but then Satan struck the ram, that is Christ, and broke or shattered his two horns. That is, he spiritually conquered or destroyed Christ's church. And then the scripture says, and there was no power in the ram, that is Christ, to stand before him, that is Satan. But he, Satan, cast him, Christ, down to the ground, or down to the earth, and stamped upon him. And there was none that could deliver the ram, that is Christ, out of his hand, that is, out of Satan's will. Because the hand in the Bible often symbolizes the will. So at the end of the church age and the beginning of the great tribulation in the church, due to God's final judgment on the world having begun at the house of God on May 21, 1988, for as Scripture declared, judgment must begin at the house of God. 1 Peter 4:17, Satan was permitted to conquer the Christian church and trample or stamp upon the ram, that is Christ. This, as we had learned, was the spiritual stamping upon Christ's body. The true chosen ones are believers who were only but a small remnant in the Christian churches at that time on May 21, 1988, but who had followed the Holy Spirit, through who Christ had been being manifest in his church during the church age, to depart out from the Christian church. The Holy Spirit departed out on May 21, 1988 to bring an end to the church age, which made it possible for the devil to take his seat of rule in the corporate Christian church, which includes all Christian churches, and to also have brought an end to true salvation in and through any Christian church. Yet most of God's true believing remnant did not depart out of their churches until after the latter rain that began on September 7th, 1994, after which that great multitude of Revelation 7 had come out of the great tribulation by having been freely granted eternal life. For by grace were they saved through faith, and that not of themselves, it was a gift of God, not of works, lest any one of them should boast. Ephesians 2:8 through 9. Likewise, we, all God's true people, were eternally saved in like manner no later than the first day of the many days of Judgment Day on May 21, 2011, after which no one else has ever again truly been granted true eternal life in the Savior, Jesus Christ. The door to eternal salvation, which is Jesus Christ, was then shut. That is what the many days of Judgment Day have primarily been all about. The world has been caught in the snare of the trapper, that is Jesus, and there is no escape. Indeed, the whole world has already been judged, as the billions of remaining people, both in and out of the churches, are now on death row. a wedding execution of both their bodies and their souls, along with the devil and all his host. As a result, the devil and his demons have gone mad, or insane, if you will, in their attempt to hurt God by hurting his creation and people in whatever way they can before they themselves are destroyed forever. But there is a hedge of protection surrounding all God's true people who have long since left all the Christian churches because all the churches had been given over to the devil. Sad, but all who remain a part of any Christian church are not being protected. But they are all being fed a strong delusion by God himself to believe the lie that Satan, the counterfeit Christ, is not ruling in their church, but Christ is, and that they are not worshiping the devil, the counterfeit Christ, when they actually are. Ah, Lord, the day of Yahweh, the day of Yahweh, a day of many days of great deception, a day of many days of great weeping, a day of many days of thick clouds and great darkness. Why me, O Lord? Why was I ever born? To declare woe to all who are in the Christian churches, for they are all in rebellion to Christ, and they have been blinded by him. These are the tares that would finally be separated from the wheat that Christ said would take place during the final harvest, as we read in Matthew 13, verse 30. Let both, that is the wheat and the tares, the saved and the unsaved in the church, grow together until the harvest. That is, until the latter rain from September 7, 1994 to May 21, 2011. And in the time of harvest, that is the latter rain, I will say to the reapers, and the reapers are God's elect or true people, who are angels, by the way, because they're messengers. And the word angels, both in Hebrew and Greek, means messengers. And Christ said, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them during the final harvest. This was, at least in part, accomplished when God's true people followed the Holy Spirit to depart out from the Christian churches, which left only tares remaining and already bundled in the Christian churches for the fire to soon come. But Christ says, gather the wheat into my barn. I encourage you, for more information on the wheat and the tares, you can download the book, Wheat and Tares, by clicking on the link. Well, there is much more we could say about Satan's spiritual destruction of the church and his spiritual tramping upon Christ's body, the elect, in the Christian church beginning on May 21, 1988. But let's move on to study our new verses for today, Daniel 8, verses 8 through 9. Let's begin by reading verse 8. Therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. And, as we have been doing, let's look at the literal meaning or application to this verse first, and then we will look at the spiritual. The first thing in verse 8 that Daniel reports is that the he-goat, that is Alexander the Great and his Grecian kingdom, waxed very great. And when he was strong, the great horn was broken. Indeed, he not only conquered the great Persian kingdom in 330 BC, but he went on to conquer the Indies and the whole known world of that time until he died in 323 BC. And he was no humble man, for he reckoned himself a god and called himself Jupiter Ammon. But in 323 BC, after conquering the whole known world, and when he was almost only 33 years old, during a days-long series of drinking parties, he collapsed with great pain in his neck. Then after 10 days of extremely high fever, he was declared dead on June 13th. And when his body did not appear to start decaying as normal, he was declared to be a god. It was only in 2018 AD when Dr. Catherine Hall, in her research, brought up the notion of his having possibly died from Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is an acute autoimmune condition that results in muscle paralysis. And you can click on the link to learn about that. That is, Alexander the Great may not have been dead when they thought he was dead, and so he was embalmed alive. You can click on the link for more information on how he died. Anyway, when he was strong, that is, when he had reached his greatest height in strength, by having conquered the whole known world in such a very short time, the great horn was broken. Alexander the Great died. But then our verse states, and for it, that is in the place of the great horn, Alexander the Great, that was broken or died, came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. And the angel Gabriel helps to understand all this further by saying down in verse 22 of Daniel chapter 8, now that being broken, that is the great horn, Alexander the Great, having been broken, to be exact, having died, whereas four horns stood up for it. That is, four kings with their kingdoms stood up to take Alexander's place after he had died. Four kingdoms, the scripture says, shall stand up out of the nation, that is, out of Grecia or Greece that Alexander ruled over, but not in his, that is, Alexander the Great's power, for Alexander, as previously stated, had already died. Thus, in 547 BC, and in the literal meaning or application to our verse 8 of this study, the angel Gabriel revealed to Daniel in his vision that after Alexander the Great died, which was in 323 BC, according to the secular record, four kings and their kingdoms would eventually arise out of Alexander's Grecian kingdom to be four kingdoms toward the four winds of heaven, literally to the four winds of the heavens, plural. And that is exactly what eventually took place. Those four kingdoms were Greece in the west, Egypt to the south, Asia to the north, and Syria to the east, each having their own king, names of whom are not necessary to mention for the purposes of this study. But now moving on to verse 9 of Daniel 8, to first see its literal meaning or application, we read, and out of one of them, that is, out of one of the four previously mentioned kingdoms, came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. To be able to understand the literal meaning or application of this verse, we must first seek an answer to the question, who is this so-called little horn that came out of one of the four kingdoms previously mentioned and waxed exceeding great? In history, there is only one man who can fit the description of this little horn. He is one who had to come into power after the Grecian kingdom was divided into the four kingdoms of Greece, Egypt, Asia, and Syria, sometime after the death of Alexander the Great, who died in 323 BC. And we are told that this little horn stamped upon God's people. We read that down in verse 10 of Daniel chapter 8. And he caused the daily sacrifices at the temple to cease, as well as having cast down the place of God's sanctuary or temple. Verse 11. Given this information, this man can be none other than Antiochus Epiphanes. And you can click on his name for a biography of who he is and what he did. And as to which of the four kingdoms that he came from, it was Syria. This king Antiochus of Syria was called a little or inferior horn because in comparison to the great and notable horn, that is the king Alexander the Great, who lived about 150 years earlier, Antiochus's rule was quite small. But he gradually waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. The pleasant land, of course, gives reference because it can also be translated as the glorious land. It gives reference to the land in which was the temple of Yahweh, namely the land of Judah and Jerusalem, where there was prosperity in the ordinances of the law, the worship of Yahweh, and peace, at least until Antiochus forced Greek culture upon them, requiring the end to the Jewish temple service and worship on pain of death for anyone who refused to desecrate the temple. He apparently sacrificed a pig. And of course, to the Jews, that was an unclean animal. He sacrificed it on the incense altar of the holy place. And Antiochus installed an idol to Zeus Olympius, his false god, to be worshipped. Well, what is most important for us in these last days of the many days of Judgment Day that we have been in ever since May 21, 2011, is the spiritual application and meaning to these verses, which have to do with things near the end of the world. So let's now see what our verses spiritually reveal for our time. Remember, our two verses for today read, "Therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land." Or I like the translation better, the glorious land. Spiritually, we already had pretty much learned what most of the words or terms mean in these verses. The he-goat, of course, we learned symbolizes Satan. And you can, if you need to be refreshed of that, you can click on verse 5 and begin reading the last paragraph on page 10. Who, to begin God's judgment on his own church, as he said he would, 1 Peter 4:17, was permitted to spiritually conquer and destroy the whole Christian church and stamp upon the true body of Christ within the church to spiritually overcome and kill, that is, silence. Yeah, spiritually to kill is to silence someone. Not necessarily physically kill them, as we had learned in verse 7. And you can go back to that by clicking on verse 7 and scrolling down to page 11 to begin reading. Therefore, as we read in verse 8 above, the he-goat, that's the devil, waxed very great in the corporate Christian church, which includes all Christian churches, by the way. And according to the very accurate biblical timeline of history, the devil began to wax very great at the spiritual end of the church age and the beginning of the great tribulation when God's judgment began at his own corporate Christian church on May 21, 1988. That is, God's judgment began at his own corporate house or temple, of which all Christian churches are a part of. For judgment had to begin at the house of God, 1 Peter 4:17. Indeed, it was May 21, 1988 when Satan was released by God from the pit, which he had been bound in at the cross when he was cast out of heaven to the earth, to be used by God against his own corporate house or church as the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist. And to find out who the Antichrist really is, you can click on the Antichrist. That is not a man. Also called the man of sin, the beast, the abomination of desolation, and the little horn, who was then on May 21, 1988, granted the seat of rule in the whole corporate Christian church to blind and spiritually lead them all toward hell. Except, of course, the truly saved remnant who eventually followed the Holy Spirit to depart out from the Christian church during the latter part of the great tribulation of judgment against all the Christian churches due to their many years of rebellion against their Lord to one degree or another. But next, we are told, and when he, that is the devil or Satan, was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the glorious land. Now, unlike the literal application or meaning to these verses that was explained earlier in this study, the spiritual application or meaning is quite different and pertains to the time of the end, which began on May 21, 1988. It is all a description of the he-goat, Satan, who waxed great beginning on May 21, 1988, to begin God's judgment and great tribulation upon the corporate Christian church or house of God. When our verse says, and when he, that is the devil, or Satan, was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the pleasant, or better yet translated, the glorious land. We can see all this taking place on May 21, 1988 as it pertains or reveals what the first sentence in our verse is all about, namely, that the he-goat waxed very great. Okay, that's what it says at the beginning of verse 8. So now, therefore, in the process of the he-goat, that is Satan, waxing great, beginning on May 21, 1988, we read, when he, Satan, was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it, that is in its place, came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. First, we ask, when was Satan strong in this context? Yes, yes. We already learned that he was strong just before and leading up to May 21, 1988, because that is when he was released from the pit in which he was bound at the cross and given the power to spiritually conquer the whole Christian church, to begin to bring God's judgment against them, and to begin spiritually stamping upon Christ's body, symbolized in verse 7 by the he-goat stamping on the ram, the elect, to silence, that is, spiritually kill them in the church. And you can get more information on their spiritual killing in Revelation 11, 7 through 10, and Revelation 13, 17 by clicking on those links. But notice that when he, Satan, was strong, which we reason took place on May 21, 1988, we read, the great horn was broken. And since we had already learned that the great horn on the he-goat was spiritually just another symbol for Satan, in particular, the great horn symbolized Satan in his great strength and power, which we learned back in verse 5 that you can click on to be refreshed of, and then scroll down to page 19. Our verse saying that the great horn, that is Satan's great strength and power, was broken. In this case, that the great horn was broken does not mean that Satan himself died when he was strong, like Alexander the Great did back in the literal application or meaning to these verses. No, rather, because the he-goat, Satan himself, was not broken, but his great horn only. It must mean that only the great strength and power which Satan had at that time, beginning on May 21, 1988, came to an end and was replaced by actually an even greater power and strength. For we read, and for it, that is in the place of Satan's great horn, came up four notable ones, that is four notable horns toward the four winds of heaven. Thus, the one great horn, symbolizing Satan's power and strength beginning on May 21, 1988, well, it came to an end to be replaced by four notable horns that gave Satan an even greater power and strength, as his power then became worldwide or universal. This is so because the number four in the words four notable horns symbolizes universality or worldwide. And you can click on Bible number 4 to see that. Therefore, since horns in the Holy Scriptures symbolize power and strength, this is so common in the Bible, there is no need to prove it here. And the number 4 symbolizes worldwide or universality, the four notable horns that came up in the place of the great horn must symbolize worldwide or universal notable power and strength. So we see that Satan had on his head the great horn to symbolize the great power and strength he had right to begin May 21, 1988, and spiritually conquer the whole Christian church, as symbolized in his shattering of the ram's horns, which spiritually brought an end to the church age. Also at that time, the he-goat, Satan, began spiritually stamping upon the elect as he became seated to rule in the holy place, that is the corporate Christian church, as the Antichrist, who is the counterfeit Christ. That, as we shall see next in verse 9, is the little horn that was said to come out of one of them, that is, out from one of the four notable horns. So then, in summary, Satan was seated to rule in the whole corporate Christian church to bring God's judgment against them on May 21, 1988. According to the biblical timeline of history, But then also on that same day, we see Satan's great power and strength increased even further, and that his great horn of power and strength by which he conquered the Christian church came to an end to be replaced by four notable horns, meaning that the devil had then gained universal or worldwide notable power and strength in the whole Christian church as well as the world, which was greater power and strength than he had before. This began what the Bible calls the Great Tribulation, when Satan was ruling all the world as well as the Christian church. And it was a spiritual tribulation because the devil and his host, who were used to bring it about, are spirits themselves. Now, we can't miss the fact that Satan's four notable horns of universal or worldwide power and strength that they symbolize came up toward the four winds of heaven. Literally, the Hebrew says to the four winds of the heavens, plural. The number four in the prepositional phrase, to the four winds of the heavens, symbolizes universality or worldwide. You can click on Bible number four once again to see that. The word winds, on the other hand, spiritually symbolizes tribulation or judgment. Remember when the great windstorm came up as Jesus and his disciples were crossing the lake in a boat? And it almost caused the boat to sink so that they feared for their lives. We read in Luke 8, verses 23 through 24. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, "Let us go over unto the other side of the lake." And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we perish." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was calm. In this account, the winds that came up upon them were a picture of the tribulations, troubles, or distresses that we all have in this world at various times. For Christ said, "In the world you shall have tribulation," John 16:33. But when we cry out to the Lord, as his disciples did, he helps to calm those troubles and tribulations and distresses, so we can bear them. And the winds, especially the four winds, are also used to symbolize God's final judgment, first on his church, for judgment had to begin at the house of God, 1 Peter 4:17, and then also on the whole world. For instance, we read in Revelation 7, verses 1 through 3, "And after these things I saw four angels," and as I said, the word angels can be translated as messengers, "standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel," or messenger, "ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, 'Hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads.'" When we looked more closely at these verses in a past study of Revelation 7, 1 through 9 that you can click on to be reminded of. We found that the four winds represented really the final worldwide judgment of God that began first against the Christian churches beginning on May 21, 1988, but began for everyone else in the world on May 21, 2011. And the angels standing on the four, that is the worldwide, corners of the earth, are commanded to not bring that final judgment upon the earth. That is, remember, we've learned now for some time that the term the earth is symbolic of the spiritually symbolic of the Christian church. So, the four, that is the worldwide corners of the earth, are commanded to not bring that final judgment upon the earth, that is the Christian church, either the sea, and we've learned many times that the term the sea refers to the unsaved, nor the trees. And the trees, in this context, represent every unsaved person. Until all God's servants, His chosen ones, have been sealed in their foreheads, that is, saved. In this example, therefore, the four winds are clearly symbolic of God's final worldwide judgment. And before that judgment could have begun in the Christian church, God would first need to seal or save all of His true people in His church before His final judgment could first begin at His own house, as it did on May 21, 1988. And He did save them during the church age, from Pentecost 33 AD to May 21, 1988, after which true salvation came to an end in the whole Christian church forever, being God's final judgment against them due to all their various sins. And then He would also need to save all His true people outside of the Christian church in the world before the same final judgment of His could expand to include the whole world as well, as He did save them during the latter reign, from September 7, 1994 to May 21, 2011. After which salvation came to an end in the whole world forever, just like it had previously in the whole corporate Christian church on May 21, 1988. Now, let's return to our verse 8 that states, "And for it, that is in its place, came up four notable ones," that is horns, "toward the four winds of heaven." We still need to answer the question, what does this sentence mean that in the place of the great horn of the devil came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven? We already learned that the four notable horns represented or symbolized the worldwide notable power and strength of the devil at the end of the church age on May 21, 1988. But what does it mean that this worldwide notable power and strength of Satan came up toward the four winds of heaven? Literally, the Hebrew says, to the four winds of the heavens, plural. Well, as previously revealed in Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 through 3, that you can click on to be refreshed, the four winds can symbolize the final judgment of God, and that is also what they must symbolize here in Daniel chapter 8, verse 8. Thus our verse is revealing that the four notable horns, which symbolize the worldwide or universal power and strength of Satan, came up to or toward the final worldwide judgment of heaven. The phrase of heaven simply means that this final worldwide judgment came from heaven, which of course also means it came from God who rules the heaven. But once again, we ask, what does it mean that the four notable horns, that is the worldwide or universal notable power and strength given to the devil on May 21, 1988, came up to the four winds of heaven? That is, came up to the final worldwide judgment of heaven. Well, if the worldwide notable power and strength of Satan came up to the final worldwide judgment of heaven, they would both have met on May 21, 1988, when the final worldwide judgment of heaven actually came into being, first at the house of God, which later expanded, of course, to include the whole world on May 21, 2011. Therefore, that in the place of the broken great horn on the he-goat, that is Satan's head, there came up four notable horns, that is the worldwide notable power and strength of Satan, to the four winds of heaven, that is to the final worldwide judgment of heaven, simply means that the worldwide notable power and strength of Satan and the final worldwide judgment of heaven both met one another. That is, the worldwide notable power and strength of Satan came up to the other. Or we might say the one came up to the other and so met as one. That is, the worldwide notable power and strength of Satan became the final worldwide judgment of heaven. As Satan's worldwide power and strength was and still is being used to bring God's final worldwide judgment that first began at the house of God. That is the corporate Christian church, which all Christian churches belong to. But there is another way we might spiritually interpret the previous as well. Remember, we read in the last sentence of verse 8, and for it, that is in its place, came up four notable horns toward the four winds of heaven. The term, the four winds, in the Hebrew, can just as well be translated as four spirits to symbolize the universal spirit or worldwide spirit, since as we have learned, the number four symbolizes universal or worldwide. And then this universal spirit, of course, can be none other than the Holy Spirit. For in this context, it is said to be the universal or worldwide spirit of heaven. And the only universal spirit of or from heaven is the Holy Spirit. Therefore, given this information, our verse now reads, and for it, that is in the place of the he-goat's great horn, came up four notable horns, that is the worldwide notable power and strength of Satan, to the Holy Spirit. And that this worldwide notable power and strength of Satan came up to the Holy Spirit means it, in a way, came up to, and so met with the Holy Spirit on May 21, 1988, to become one in purpose with him, in that the worldwide notable power and strength of Satan and the Holy Spirit became one in purpose to begin God's final judgment on the world at the house of God. On May 21, 1988, according to the very accurate biblical timeline of history, the Holy Spirit brought this about by departing out from all the Christian churches to leave them all defenseless. So then the worldwide or universal notable power and strength of Satan could enter in and easily take over the Holy Spirit's seat of rule in the corporate Christian church as the counterfeit Holy Spirit in Christ, the Antichrist, the devil himself that was prophesied to come. And virtually everyone in the Christian church did not even know what happened to them, except, of course, God's elect, who had eventually followed the true Holy Spirit out from all the Christian churches by May 21, 2011, before the many days of Judgment Day began. Okay, we have one more verse to cover today, verse 9 of Daniel 8, and we want to look at it in its spiritual application and meaning. But let me read it again. And out of one of them, that is one of the four notable horns previously mentioned in verse 8, came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. We want to discover the spiritual application or meaning to this verse, as I said. First, we are told that out of one of the four notable horns came forth a little horn. So, out of what we already learned was the universal or worldwide notable strength and power of Satan, came a little horn. The word little means small, inferior, or insignificant. So this is a small or insignificant horn in comparison to the great horn and the four notable horns, which we previously saw symbolize the worldwide notable power and strength of Satan at the beginning of May 21, 1988. Nevertheless, this does not mean that this little power and strength of Satan, the little horn, did not do great harm to God's people. For we are told that this little horn, that is Satan with relatively little power and strength, and remember, he didn't need that much power and strength because the Holy Spirit had left the church. But this little horn waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. No, in the spiritual application or meaning, God is not here revealing three literal directions on earth in which this little horn waxed exceeding great. For in the spiritual realm, there are no literal directions on a compass like south and east and toward the pleasant land. Rather, by emphasizing the number three, by saying toward the south, one, and toward the east, two, and toward the pleasant land, three, God is revealing it to be his purpose. And you can click on the Bible number three to see that the number three emphasizes God's purpose. It's God's purpose that Satan, with relatively little power and strength, waxed great, or we could say became great, toward the pleasant land. And because the pleasant land can just as well be translated as the glorious land, we know what land it is referring to spiritually. It is referring to the land where God dwelt in his holy temple during the old covenant, namely the land of Judah. And that's not the spiritual, I'm sorry, that is the literal understanding. Looking at it, the pleasant or glorious land, it referred to the land of Judah, in which was the city Jerusalem, where the temple of God was located. But remember, we are looking for the spiritual meaning and application in the new covenant for the latter days, just before the end of the world. And in doing so, the land of Judah or Jerusalem is symbolic for all the Christian churches, as that is where the temple of God now is, at least in an external way. And you can look at the verses 1 Corinthians 3:16 through 17, 2 Corinthians 6:13 to see that the local churches and congregations are called the temple of God. Of course, in these latter days, God's true people, who are the true eternal temple or house of God that once were part of the external church, should no longer be in the Christian churches. Nevertheless, all the various Christian churches, apart from God's true people, are still, at least externally, considered to be the Christian church, although they are no longer the true temple of God, for they are now being ruled over by the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, also called the man of sin, and the little horn, the devil himself, as God's final judgment against them for all their sins. And they are being blinded by God himself, and so cannot see what has and is happening to them. They are worshiping the devil when they think they are worshiping Christ. Indeed, the little horn has become great toward the glorious land, that is, toward the whole corporate Christian church, which includes all Christian churches. Well, let's conclude on these two verses, 8 through 9. In this study of Daniel 8, verses 8 through 9, we discovered two applications or meanings, as we have been doing throughout Daniel chapter 8, the literal and the spiritual. First, in the literal, we saw how the verses relate to Alexander the Great during the 3rd century B.C., when he became strong and conquered the whole then-known world before he was even 33 years old. Then he, symbolized by the great horn, was broken, which means, in the literal sense, he died. And the secular records say this occurred in 323 B.C. And then in Alexander's place came up 4 notable kingdoms, represented by the 4 notable horns, and they were Greece, Egypt, Asia, and Syria. And they stretched out in all directions, as our verse declares, toward the 4 winds of heaven. And then out of one of those 4 kingdoms, namely Syria, history tells us, came forth Antiochus Epiphanes. Antiochus Epiphanes, the little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east, the south being Egypt and the east being toward Babylon and ancient Persia, and toward the pleasant land or the glorious land. That is, he became great toward the south. That is, he became great toward Judah and Jerusalem. The pleasant or the glorious land literally refers to Judah and Jerusalem. In Judah, Antiochus decreed an end to the temple service in Jerusalem. And he desecrated the temple by sacrificing a pig, an unclean thing, on the altar of incense in the holy place. He also set up an idol for Zeus Olympius in the holy temple. So Antiochus brought a complete halt to the worship of the true God by God's true people. And as history goes, this all led to the Maccabean Rebellion. And you can learn more about that by just clicking on Antiochus Epiphanes. Next, in conclusion, in the spiritual application or meaning to the same verses of Daniel chapter 8, verses 8 through 9, we discovered how the verses relate to Satan on May 21, 1988, when we know he was released from the pit that he had been bound in ever since the time of the cross, which had greatly reduced his power and strength, so that he could bring God's final judgment on the world beginning at the Christian church. Therefore, we read in verse 8, the he-goat, Satan, waxed very great And when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. In short, in the spiritual application, this meant that Satan became great as he conquered, that is, broke or shattered the whole Christian church. And we're talking spiritually here. We're not talking physically. We can still see the church is physically around, but this is spiritual. And that was symbolized, that spiritual shattering of the church was symbolized by the ram's two horns that were broken. And as he stamped upon the body of Christ, that is the ram, the true people of God, to spiritually kill them, that is, silence them in the Christian church. And we saw that in verse 7. And when Satan waxed strong, he became stronger still when his great power and strength, symbolized by the great horn, by which he conquered the whole Christian church, came to an end. That is, it was broken and was replaced by a worldwide notable power and strength, symbolized by the four notable horns. And this worldwide notable power and strength of the devil was used as one, or in accord with, God, the Holy Spirit in Christ, to begin God's final judgment on the world by beginning first at the house of God on May 21, 1988. This is why the worldwide power and strength of the devil, symbolized by the four notable horns, was said to come up to the worldwide Holy Spirit of heaven, symbolized by the four winds or spirits of heaven. Then finally, in verse 9, we were told, and out of one of them, that is, out of the one of the four notable horns that we found symbolized the worldwide notable power and strength of the devil, came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant or glorious land. Thus, from Satan and his worldwide notable power and strength came a little horn, which was still Satan, of course, but with relatively little power and strength compared to his worldwide notable power and strength. Nevertheless, we are told that Satan, the little horn, still waxed exceeding great. And this is exceeding great where? Why, we found it was God's purpose that the devil, the little horn, waxed exceedingly great toward or in the corporate Christian church of which all Christian churches belong. This is the glorious land wherein the devil, the little horn, began to become exceeding great, beginning on May 21, 1988, and even to this very day, because similar to what we saw in the literal application or meaning when Antiochus, that is the little horn, desecrated the temple in 167 BC by setting up therein a little statue of the false god Zeus, so also did the devil, the little horn, set up a spiritual idol in the corporate Christian church at the beginning to the end of days on May 21, 1988, namely the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, also called the little horn, the man of sin, the beast, and the abomination of desolation, the devil himself. So the little horn, who is Satan, okay, has everything to do with bringing God's judgment on his church. That judgment began on May 21, 1988. And it continues even to this very day. And we will see this more clearly in our next study of Daniel chapter 8. But until then, may Yahweh bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.